We've tried a lot of coffee over the years, and 7 Weeks Coffee is the one that my husband and I have landed on recently that we are loving. It is one of our favorite coffees that we keep in the house. And it's not just great coffee, but it's a brand built around values that we take so seriously. 7 Weeks Coffee is America's pro-life coffee company on a mission to fund the pro-life movement one cup of coffee at a time. This means so much to me because of just my personal story. My mom was pregnant with me when she was 19, and against all the advice she was getting from everybody around her to terminate the pregnancy because she was quote unquote going to wreck her life, she decided to proceed courageously with parenting me and having me. And I am so grateful for that. So we want to support companies that are pro-life and are supporting moms who are choosing life. So why are they called 7 Weeks Coffee? Because at 7 weeks, a baby is the size of a coffee bean. And it's the same time a heartbeat is clearly detected on an ultrasound. They've built their business around saving lives by donating 10% of every sale, which is 50% of profits, to pregnancy centers and pro-life organizations nationwide. They've now raised over $1.8 million and literally saved 17,000 lives. Now, let's talk about the coffee because I do care what I'm fueling my body with. It's mold-free, pesticide-free, shade-grown, and low acid, and it's organically farmed. So it truly checks all of my boxes. So go to 7weekscoffee.com and save 15% forever when you subscribe, plus get a free gift with your order. And exclusively for my listeners, use code MARI for an extra 10% off your first order. That's 25% total savings on your first order, plus a free gift when you use the code MARI, M-A-R-I, at checkout. Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Welcome back to Ever Be again. It's me, Mari. It's just going to be a solo episode today, and it's going to be just a adoption update. I've gotten a lot of questions of people being like, where are you at in the process, and how can we pray for you? And so I'm just going to share a little bit more detail of like what the process of adoption has looked like for us, where are we at in the process, and just what can we expect from here on out. So I was going to start with an Ever Be moment, and then I realized I'm going to share basically a whole Ever Be moment later on in this episode because it's just continuation of how God's working in this call to adoption. So my Ever Be moment will be later in this episode. I'll let you know when it is, but it is incredible. So I'll just walk you through what our steps have looked like in our journey. The steps can vary sometimes depending on what route of adoption you go through, whether you're doing domestic infant adoption or international adoption or fostering to adopt. Those are kind of all different processes, but we are doing domestic infant adoption here in the U.S. And we started our whole journey by doing research. So I got on the phone with some people that I knew had adopted, which I didn't really know many at the time. I think we got connected with one or two people that had adopted, and we were able to get on the phone, and they were able to answer a lot of my questions. And my questions have really evolved throughout the process because your worries, your interests, like what you're looking at and your questions on the whole process just change and evolve as you move forward. So when I had a very first initial call with a friend who had adopted her first baby, my questions were like, were you able to feel like this baby was yours? Like in the middle of the night when the baby cried, like, did you have the ability to soothe that baby that you didn't birth? Did you feel connected to this baby? Like, how did your family and friends like connect with this baby? Those were some of my initial questions, which I think were very appropriate for that stage of our discernment. At the very beginning where we were like, are we even called to this? What does this path of growing our family look like? And then later on in the process, it was like, I would call someone and ask them like, okay, like, what does the process look like? Like, what kind of things do you have to do as the adoptive parent? And what kind of things do you have to turn in or questions you have to answer or interviews or how much does it cost? Like all these kind of very much more logistical questions of like, how do we get into it? How do we get started? Right. And then kind of near the end now, we're like, oh, like, what does it look like to parent a newborn? And like, what's the relationship with the birth mom? And like, how do you navigate like hospital plans and birth plans when you're kind of like, you know, dealing with someone who's birthing the baby that's not you? Like much more nuanced questions to this part of our journey. But at the beginning, we just started asking simple questions and started getting on the phone with people that we knew and learning what route they took. So with adoption in the US, you can either adopt directly through an agency or you can work with what is called an adoption consultant, which means that you have kind of like a liaison between you and many agencies. So instead of me going to a bunch of agencies, interviewing them, vetting whether they're ethical or not, choosing whether I want to work with them or not, and presenting ourselves and all that kind of stuff, we have an agent that we work with, a consultant is what they're called, and she has partners of like all these different agencies that she has vetted that she believes are doing ethical work, because you really want to make sure that the agency you're working with is very ethical, that they've had good results with, that they have great relationship with, etc. And it opens you up to multiple states. Whereas like if I were just adopting here in Colorado, I would only have the options of the agencies here in Colorado. Now, of course, like I could apply directly to an agency in Texas or in Florida or in Arizona, but to us, it just seemed simpler to just go through the consultant route. It just seemed like they would take care of kind of more of that heavy lift, especially as a first-time adoptive family. It does come with a flat fee, so it's a little bit more expensive. So some people are kind of turned off by it because they're like, oh, you have to pay, you know, like I think it was like $4,000 of a flat fee or something like that. But in general, adoption is so expensive, you guys, like really expensive, like minimum like $50,000. So like to us, $4,000 was kind of a drop in the bucket in that huge amount that we already have to like save up at a minimum. And it was going to make the process easier. So for us, it was kind of a no-brainer. We're like, this is worth it. We're going to invest in that. And so, yeah, in this process, we were recommended a consultant. They recommended one group of consultants. We chatted with them. We had a couple interviews with them, and we learned a ton more about the adoption process through them, about how birth moms pick families, all of that. And then we read some books. One of them that we read was Adopted for Life. That was a really good book that gave the Christian perspective, kind of the biblical perspective of why Christian families should discern adoption, why adoption is a good Christian thing to discern if God's calling you to, even if you do have biological children. And then the other book was, I believe it's called The Connected Child. And I probably read like half of it. It's a lot about like behavioral parenting. And as I was reading it, like it's a big popular book in the adoption world. And I hope that that's what it's actually called. But it didn't seem fully applicable to me at the time of what I was discerning. And so it was good to kind of have that knowledge, but I didn't finish it all the way through, but maybe I will one day. And then we got connected with another friend. She worked with a different consulting agency. She raved about them, said there was a ton of success there. Really, really great people to work with, very ethical. So we went with them. So we started working with our agency. We told them we were ready to sign in January. We signed on in January. And then the first step is you have to get started on a home study. So this is phase one of the adoption process. There are two phases. Phase one is really you doing a lot of the work, getting your home study done, turning in paperwork. Phase two is you waiting and seeing cases and waiting for that match. So phase one is like very busy, and it's kind of like the sprint part of this whole process because it's really up to you how long it's going to take. So sometimes it takes people like 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 18 months, because they just kind of go slowly. And you can do that if you're like, yeah, I'm not in a rush to adopt, or, you know, we're just going to do things where we can. It can take a long time, but we were very excited to adopt and grow our family. And so we tried to go as quick as we could. And yet we were still frustrated about how long it took, because we were like, we thought we were going to get this done in like 4 weeks. And it's like, we're crazy. Why did we think we were going to get it done in 4 weeks? Like, we still had life going on. We still had work going on. And so we couldn't just like, the reason it takes so long is because you can't just pause your life to just do this. Otherwise, yeah, it probably would just take a month. But it took a little bit to get connected to our home study agency here in Colorado. So then I think we actually got started like probably mid-February, getting on calls with them, learning what we had to start doing, getting, you know, logged into the portals. And there's all these like document checklists, and you got to go through every single one of them. And I'm talking like, I mean, you got to submit a ton of documents, marriage license, insurance cards, marriage certificate, like birth certificate. Like, you have to just go find all this paperwork and then turn it in. And then you also have to like fill out a bunch of paperwork and all these questionnaires. And it asks you so much. Like, it literally asks you so much. It's like, describe your parents and how you remember them when you were in your childhood and then in your teenage years and then as an adult. Like, what else did it ask? Literally, like, what are the biggest problems and conflicts you have in your marriage? And were you happy as a child growing up? Like, what are some of the most difficult moments you went through? It like asks you so many questions. It's this big, long questionnaire. That took us a while to fill out. A couple like sittings, or what's it called? A couple rounds of like sitting down and working on it. And then there's all this training you have to do, this like online training. So like, there's like workshops we have to attend that teach us about transracial adoption and substance abuse. And like, if you get a case of a mom who had some sort of substance use, like, how can that impact the pregnancy and development of the child? Or does it? Relationships with birth mom and different types of open adoption and stuff. Because what we found is that in the U.S., closed adoption doesn't really exist anymore. Like, there's like no such thing as a completely closed adoption. So to some extent, like, you're going to know who those birth parents are. Your child's going to know who those birth parents are. And the relationship can vary. But anyways, a ton of training. And then you also have to get a bunch of clearances. Like, you got to do fingerprints and background checks and child abuse checks and medical tests. They want to know if you have HIV, or you have to do a blood panel draw, a drug panel, tuberculosis, like all this stuff. So then you got to do all that. So that's what we've been working on since February. And at the end of all that, when you turn all of that in, I almost forgot. We had to write an autobiography about ourselves. Okay. When I saw the list of questions that were on the prompt of like what we had to include in our autobiography, I kid you not, there was like 70 questions. And it was like, answer each one of these thoroughly. I was like, so do you actually want like a 10-page paper about my life? Like, is that too much? And I literally emailed my agent that, and I was like, I see that there's, you know, a vast amount of questions you want me to answer thoroughly. I just want to make sure like page count is good. Like, I could write like 10 pages about that. Is that like what you're expecting? And then I wrote that on a Friday. She didn't get back to me until Monday, but I spent the weekend doing this autobiography. It's 33 pages. Y'all, it's 33 pages. Thinking I could write it in 10 pages was actually hilarious. So that gives you some perspective on all the work that goes into the adoption process. Yeah. In a way, it's like, it is hard. And sometimes I'll, you know, in low moments, I'll complain to Trey, and I'll be like, and other moms just get pregnant and then go birth their baby. And he's really good at helping me see the reality, because yes, of course, there's valid pain in that. And at the same time, there's also difficulty and pain in pregnancy. You know, there's morning sickness and your body is in pain and you can't sleep well and you have food aversions or food cravings or mood swings. Like, there are difficulties that come with it. So in its own way, it's like these are the pregnancy pains of adoption and the labor pains of adoption. And no path to motherhood is easy or simple. So it's a good reminder as we're trugging through all this. And at the end, after turning all of this stuff in, then we get to the home visits portion. And that's basically the last part of the home study process. So that everything I just explained is part of the home study process. A home study is a report that they have to write at the very end to basically like clear you to say like, this is everything about their life. We have vetted them thoroughly. They are cleared to be good adoptive parents. And it's a whole report that gets written up. And it like in the report, it's like everything you just submitted. It's like everything about you. But before they write it, they come and they visit your house and they do in-person interviews. And I don't know if this is like across the board for every state or whatever, but our state has three visits, three interviews. And they're pretty in-depth. So the first one, the social worker comes and you do an interview together with your spouse. And it's about 2 hours long is what we were told to expect. And I believe anything that you turned in is fair game. Like anything that you filled out in those questionnaires, like anything about your life in your autobiography, like they just want to come and get to know you, get to know your home, your life, your marriage, what's good, what's hard, like everything. So that first interview is 2 hours long, you together. And then the next week they come back and they do two separate interviews, one just you and the social worker, and then one it'll be just Trey and the social worker. And each of those interviews are 2 hours long. So, man, that social worker is probably going to be exhausted by the end of it, but because she's got 4 hours straight of interviewing. So that's the second visit. And I think a lot of that is just like each one of you talking about your spouse and your marriage and, you know what? I don't know. I don't really know what else that second interview is about. Once I do it, I'll come back and let you all know. And then the third one, so then they come back a third week and they're usually one a week for 3 weeks just to like get it done with. So then they come back for a third week and that is what they call the home inspection. And that's where they come. They like, I don't know if they're going to tour the house in the other ones they might, but this one is like specifically to come tour the house and they're not trying to trick you. Like they told us, like they're going to give us a list of the things that they're looking for. It's just like safety. Like, do you have smoke alarms that work? And do you have a fire extinguisher? And like, do you have a first aid kit? And is it like, are your medicine bottles like put away in a cabinet where children can't reach it, you know? So I'm not like too worried about it. And I do know that like we have a beautiful home and a beautiful marriage and a beautiful community. And I know that they're going to see that. And so I'm not really worried about it, but that is that last part of the process. And then you wait. And so then you wait for that social worker to write up your home study, which can take anywhere from like probably 4 to like 8 weeks. Our agency told us they have a really light caseload right now. And so they said you should get it within 4 weeks. So it sounds like it'll be on the quicker end. And all of our home visits are actually scheduled. So that's where we're at right now. That is our update. Like we will start our home study visits next week. So by the end of May, all of our home study visits will be done. And then likely all of June, the social worker will be writing up our whole home study report and we'll just be waiting for her to finish it. And then end of June, beginning of July, we'll be cleared and we'll start seeing cases. So after you get your home study done, they like send that to your consultant or your adoption agency. And that's basically their proof and approval that like you're cleared to adopt at any moment. So then you'll start seeing cases. What does that look like? In our inbox, we'll start getting emails. And from what I've heard, it could be multiple emails a week or one email a week. I think it also just depends your level of openness to what, if you have any criteria that you're open to or not open to when it comes to a child that you want to adopt and raise and everything. So obviously, like the more open you are, probably the more cases you'll see. The less open you are to things, probably the less cases you'll see. So we'll start getting cases in our inbox and it'll share about the child and the birth mom. It'll be like, this is, you know, the birth mom situation. race, age, height, hair color, medical history, prenatal care, pregnancy care, like anything that would be important for us to know to make a decision of like, yes, we feel called to raise this child or not. And you either say yes or no to each of those cases. So if we get a case that we feel like, yes, we really want to bring this baby home, parent this baby, raise it in our family, we'll say, yes, we want to present to the mom. If we say no, they're just like, okay, great. And then you move on and then you wait till you get another case. If you say yes, they will present the mom with your family profile book. So this is actually what we're going to be working on while we wait for our home study to be written. So like probably end of May, all of June, we'll be working on building our profile book. And that's basically like a cute PDF that just like shows pictures of your family, your home, your hobbies, what your life looks like. And it's a lot of writing too. Like you're writing about your life and your work and your values and your marriage and your home and your friends and your community. Again, you're just basically writing another autobiography that basically shows the birth mom who you are, what your lifestyle is like, and what kind of life this baby would have if she were to pick you to be its mom and dad. So if we see a case that we feel really strongly about and we say, yes, we want to present to the mom, then all the families who said yes, so like those cases are getting presented to multiple adoptive families. All the ones that say yes will turn in their profile book to the mom, and the mom will look at all them, and then she'll make that decision. She'll say, I love this family. I want to give my baby to this family. So she makes that final decision. Like first you say yes, and then she says the final yes. And that's when the match happens. And they say that like, if it's a no, you'll get an email, or if it's a yes and she picked you, then you'll get a call. And so that's the call like all adoptive parents are waiting to get. You know, you're waiting to see your agent's name on the phone after you've said yes to see if that mom picked you or not. And it can go one of two ways. Either you can match with a mom who is pregnant still. Usually if she is, it's commonly in her last trimester. So 1 to 3 months until baby is born. And so they might call you and say, hey, baby or mom has picked you. Baby will be, you know, baby's due in 1 month or baby's due in 2 months. Here's the due date. You know, let's start planning to pick up the baby then, you know, and start preparing and all the things. So you might be able to get a little bit of a heads up. But it's also really likely for it to be what they call a drop case, which means that a baby was already born and who knows, like for some reason, an adoption plan wasn't made while the mom was pregnant and she decided she wanted to put that baby up for adoption and she had already given birth. And usually it's just like day of or like day after a baby was born. They'll present the case to you and you'll know. It'll be like, baby was born yesterday. Here's the whole situation. And those are usually more expedited. And they'll be like, you need to tell us within the next 4 hours, like whether you parent this baby or not. And so you'll say yes or no. If you say yes, then you'll wait for the mom to choose. And if she chooses you, you'll get that phone call and it'll be like, okay, mom chose you. You need to get on the next flight out because baby's already born. So like the clock is already ticking. And so then like you need to literally get on the next flight out to go pick up your baby and your whole life changes in a matter of hours. So that's how the matching process can look like. And then in terms of how long it can take, that is the question nobody can give you a straight answer on because there's no hierarchy or waiting list of how families get presented cases or chosen. It's not like because you were waiting longer, you get first pick. It's just literally like when the right baby is born that God picked for you, that was meant to be in your family, and the case gets presented to you and you say yes and the mom says yes, that's when the match happens. And I have heard things all across the board. Like my friend matched in 3 weeks and I've had so many people in my DMs telling me that they matched in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, like way faster like than I would have thought. And I also have people in my DMs who are like, it took us 7 months. It took us 9 months. It took us 6 months. It took us a year. So that's the part that's kind of hard. It's like, and now once we go live early July it's just going to be like, it's going to be so hard. It's going to be so hard to wait because I just don't know what's going to happen. Like, of course I want it to happen quickly. Maybe some people wouldn't be like that, but I'm like, call me the next day, man. I'll fly out. I want it to happen quickly, obviously. Like, I hope it just takes a couple weeks, but I also have to like have the understanding that like, it could be a couple months. It could be many months. I don't know. But basically starting July, we just have to be ready. We have to be ready for whatever happens and for a baby to come home the next day. So I'm getting ready. Like, my registry is almost done and I have links saved for a nursery, but I haven't bought anything yet. I think I've just kind of been waiting for maybe the homestead to be over. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because we've been busy. But yeah, I kind of need to start buying stuff just because, like, if they do call you, like, let's say we get a call in August and they're like, baby's born, come pick it up. Like, I don't want to have to stress about putting a nursery together. And I know the baby sleeps in your room the first like 6 months. I know. But like, if y'all know me, you know, it's going to stress me out to have an unready room for this baby I've been waiting 5 freaking years for. So I'm going to get it ready. And then what's next? And then like, when you go pick up the baby, you have to be there for a certain amount of time while you're legally cleared to take the baby home. So it could be like minimum 4 days up to 14 days, basically like 1 to 2 weeks is the expectation that you're going to be in that state where you picked up the baby. There's going to be legal processes that are happening. That's like terminating the parental rights of the birth mom and transferring or like giving you permission to take the baby home, all that stuff. Once you get cleared, then you can fly home. So that's the other thing, is like, you basically just buy a one-way ticket because you don't know when you're going back. Then you get home, and then depending on what state you adopted from, is how long it takes for the adoption to be finalized. So technically, you're not legally, like, you're legally that baby's guardian. I think it's kind of like foster care. You know, you're technically that baby's like foster family. And then there's like some home visits that need to happen once the baby comes home. Your social worker comes back to see like, how are you adjusting? How is baby adjusting? Any questions? Everything's going well and seamless. Okay, good. And then depending on the state you adopted from, it'll be a couple months from when you bring the baby home to when the adoption is finalized. So to when you legally become that baby's legal guardian. And I think it's usually like 3 to 6 months or something like that. But like, nothing changes, you know, like you still have the baby at home. It's not like anything actually changes from the moment you bring the baby home to the moment you like are sworn in and legally sign the paper. And then it's done. Easy, right? Quick. No, it's a whole process. It's a whole process, but we know the Lord has called us to it and we feel honored to be here. That's the reality. Like, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to be able to be doing all these things. And I know the Lord is providing. I know finances are a big obstacle for a lot of people in that want to adopt because it's so expensive. And I want to say that for anybody who's in that process or has that fear, you can apply for loans and so many people fundraise and God will provide. And so like, no, we do not have $50,000 sitting in our pockets just like waiting to adopt. Like, we have had to save and work for it. And which is why we launched that Holy Family Rosary, where 50% of the proceeds of that are donated to help funding families adopt, starting with ours. And so once we're fully funded, then we'll move on to another family. And I'm very excited for that. I'm very excited to the point where we get fully funded and we can start helping other families. Like, my vision for that is that maybe maybe your friend is adopting and you know financially like they need some support and that you can come to us and we can, you know, learn about that family and see how we can support them and then donate a big check to them and hope that like it helps fund their adoption or like helps get them on their way to funding that adoption. And it's amazing how like I've just seen it in the adoption Instagram world. The more that I get into this, the more that kind of content pops up and how God provides. And there are such generous people that step up to help others in building their families. And we want to do exactly that once we're done with ours. So if you're interested in supporting us in that way, I'll make sure to link in the show notes the Holy Family Rosary, where you can buy a rosary, pray for our family, and half of those proceeds of those sales will help support us. But no pressure, honestly. Like, the biggest thing you can do for us is pray. Like, please just pray for us. Like, as often as you can, pray for it to be a smooth process. Pray for good relationships with the birth mom. Pray for a healthy baby. Pray for us just to have the grace to navigate this. This is just, it's a different way to grow your family. And there's different challenges that come with it. So just pray for us to be good parents. And just thank you. Thank you for doing that for us. My Everbe moment I was going to share was just another confirmation that I have felt that we are on the right path and are truly called to be adopting, and that we have discerned right, that like we have heard the Lord's voice, heard his call, and are on the right path. So Mother's Day was just on Sunday, and usually for someone experiencing struggles with their fertility and unable to conceive, or if you have a friend that's had loss and miscarriages, Mother's Day is really hard. And it's usually just a sad day for me, to be honest. And so I was just kind of expecting it to be that way. Like, the days leading up, I was like mentally like, okay, yeah, Mother's Day is coming up. Like, I know it's going to be a hard day. Like, what am I going to do that day? How can I kind of make it better and kind of take my mind off things and all that. And then like the day before Mother's Day and on Mother's Day, like, it just like went completely the opposite. Like, it was an amazing day. It was like a happy day, and it was so unexpected. My sister-in-laws and my mother-in-law and Trey all got me like sweet little Mother's Day gifts and wished me happy Mother's Day. And I was like kind of taken aback, where I was like, why are you doing this? Like, I'm not a mom. Like, I'm not a mom yet. And they had a beautiful perspective where they were like, if you were pregnant, we'd be celebrating you right now. Like, and you are an expectant mom. It just looks a little different when you're adopting. Like, maybe you're not an expectant mom that's pregnant, but you're an expectant mom that knows a baby's coming, and you're doing everything to get there, and you're preparing, and you're almost there. So the other thing too that they were saying is like, this baby, like, if we're adopting in this year, like, this baby is already alive in his birth mom or her birth mom's uterus, womb. Why did that sound so weird? In her womb. Which means like, that baby's alive. And the truth is, I'm that baby's mom. Like, I am that baby's mom. And I'm just waiting for baby to be born and be put into my arms. And so they were sharing this all with me. And of course, I'm like fighting back tears and just like, oh my gosh, what? Like, it was just kind of a surreal moment where I was like, wow, like, this is so beautiful. Like, maybe I do get to be happy today. Maybe I do get to celebrate today. And we all went to the zoo with Trey's whole side of the fam, with all of our nieces and nephews. And that was so much fun. And the Everbe moment, right, my God moment, was like, we didn't make it to the morning masses because we were just like rushing to try and like get to the zoo. We were going to go to morning mass, and then we didn't make it because we were just like rushing to like do a bunch of stuff and get out the door to go to the zoo that day. And so then we had to find an evening mass to attend after the zoo, because the zoo closed at 4 p.m. So then we were going to find a 5 p.m. mass to make it to. Now, the zoo is in Denver, and we don't really go to mass in Denver. We don't live in Denver. So we had to like look up a church and try and see if there was a church that had a 5 p.m. mass that was close to the zoo to where we were, so we could get there on time. And Trey found a church that was just Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I thought nothing of it at the time. Now, let me just preface this whole part with saying that, like, if you haven't heard the episodes We're Adopting Part 1 or Our Adoption Story Part 1 and Part 2, like, you won't understand why this is like such a big deal. I think it's all in Part 1, the big stuff. So like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're going to need to either like pause and go listen to that and then come back to this part, or finish listening to this and then go back and listen to Our Adoption Story Part 1 episode to understand why this is such a big deal. We go to Our Lady of Guadalupe Mass, and it's in Spanish. And we're like, that's okay. I mean, I'm fluent in Spanish. Trey's learning a lot of Spanish. We just had to get to Mass. We're like, that's great. We'll go to Spanish Mass. And we walk in, and the wall behind the altar has this huge, gorgeous image, gold-framed image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then on the wall, like in gold lettering, like actual physical lettering, it wasn't just painted, it was beautiful lettering on the marble wall, it said, "Am I not here who am your mother?" But in Spanish. And so it was clearly a very like Hispanic Catholic church. And again, none of this is clicking for me yet. I'm just like, oh, this is so pretty. And I'm just like, you know, sitting in Mass and just like reading the words behind the altar and just like, wow, that's so pretty. And nothing is clicking. And then at the end of Mass, they ask all the moms to stand up for a blessing as they usually do. And most times I just like sit in the pew and I just wish I was invisible. And I just like, I'm sad and just want to get out of church as fast as possible. And this time Trey nudged me and he's like, you should stand up. And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, it's okay. And he was like, no, stand up. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I stand up and I'm like, trying to tell myself, like, keep it together, keep it together, keep it together. Like, this is an emotional thing for me. And I stand up and the priest just gives this like beautiful spiel about moms and how they have a gift from Our Lady to all the moms, and they have roses that they want to give to all the moms. And as this man is walking over to give me a rose, and here's the thing, like, so many times in my life, like, Mary has given me roses and spoken to me through roses. And that was not part of adoption update one. Like, that was that, I don't think I've like really shared much about that, but like, that is a thing in my life. And so when they were like, oh, we have a rose for every mom, I was like, oh my gosh, it like started to click where I was like, wait, like, Our Lady of Guadalupe is like, is gifting me a rose right now. She is speaking to me right now. And as this wonderful usher man is going down the aisle and going over to me to hand me this rose, I just like start crying because like everything comes together. And I like was reminded of the very first time I like really accepted this infertility journey and kneeled down and bawled in front of an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and was like, mom, you need to give me some sort of confirmation that I'm going to be a mom because I can't do it anymore. And then the next day I see, again, you got to go listen to the episode, you guys. The next day I like get this painting of Our Lady of Guadalupe and it looks exactly like me and her arms are wrapped around three babies. And it was this confirmation of Our Lady of Guadalupe comforting me and telling me, you're going to be a mom. And then I had a flashback of just in October on St. Carlo Acuti's feast day and me walking into this random church at Spanish Mass, which we never go to Spanish Mass, you guys. Why do these things keep happening at Spanish Mass? We go to this random church, or I go to this random church at Spanish Mass, and I walk in right after I see the huge billboard that I was praying for that said, you're like, adoption is the loving option, where I knew God was calling us to adoption. And I walk into the church and they have this giant, gorgeous statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And she directly speaks to my heart and is like, I have always been with you. I have called you here. See, I told you you were going to be a mom. All these things are flashing in my brain as this man is coming to hand me this flower. And here I am again, with Our Lady of Guadalupe in front of me on Mother's Day. And she looks at me and she says, as this man's giving me this flower, and she's like, didn't I tell you? You're gonna be a mom. Like, you're a mom and we're celebrating your first Mother's Day together because I'm your mom too. And I'm watching over you and I'm guiding you and I'm interceding for you and I'm with you. And behind the altar in Spanish, the words, am I not here who am your mother? I am your mother and I am always with you. So you can imagine at this point, I have stopped fighting the tears, like tears fully streaming down. my heart is like swelling. And I just am like, Our Lady, man, she is so special. I'm so grateful for this relationship that we have. Like, I felt like such a special daughter on that day. I was like, wow, Mary, you really love me. Like, you brought me here. You brought me to the Our Lady of Guadalupe Mass on Mother's Day to celebrate Mother's Day together. Like, she's so intentional. She's so intentional. She's amazing. And I love her so much. And I couldn't have asked for a better first Mother's Day. Like, truly. It was something I'll never forget. And so that's my Everbe moment. And just again, like, as we're nearing the end of our adoption process, as this like home study stretch starts next week, these visits start next week, and we wrap up this process before we start seeing cases, it's like the timing of everything is just truly impeccable. You can't make this stuff up. And having this moment with Our Lady on Mother's Day, right as we're wrapping up and getting ready to see cases this summer, was just like exactly what I needed in this part of the process. So just really wanted to share that with you guys to keep you updated on our journey and what's going on and what we're doing and how it's going and how you can pray for us. And then also, I just wanted to share, because I think a lot of the times when we hear these kind of like big God moments in other people's lives, we just think like, wow, like, is God active in my life? Like, do I have those moments? Like, I think a lot of times we can be like, God doesn't do that for me. And the reality is he does. He wants to, he does, and he will. We just need to pursue him in the same way he wants to pursue us. Like, if we don't know him well and know the ways he speaks to us, we won't recognize the ways he's working in our lives. And if we don't have our eyes open, we won't see those moments. So the Lord can work in your life just as miraculously, just as special as he's been working in mine. He loves you so much, has an incredible plan for your life, and wants to do these grand gestures of love for you as well. He wants to communicate with you. He wants to show you the way. He wants to just love you and just give you your heart's desires. So that's my encouragement to you. Pray for the big things. Pursue the Lord as much as he wants to pursue you. So that's my story today. Let's wrap up with some Everbe questions. There was a couple on adoption, so I thought it was just a very fitting episode to kind of go through those. One of them is, in general, what do preparations for your child look like at this stage? Are you starting to prepare a nursery? Have you gotten the nesting urge yet? Praying for you both. So I talked a little bit about that. I've been working on my registry, calling some of my close friends and asking them to help me pick like what products are worth it, what's not. And that registry is almost done. I am going to share online when it's done, because it's so funny. I've had a lot of first-time moms in my DMs come to me and be like, I'm a first-time mom and I don't know what to buy. Like, what's your registry? And I'm like, me too. I'm also going to be a first-time mom. I don't know, but I'll let you know what I end up picking. So when I have that registry done, I'll share. And I've also had a couple people ask, like, I'd love to send you something or support you and send you something from your registry. So if that's something you're interested in as well, just keep an eye out. I'll be posting it on my stories and I'll probably send it out in an email and probably not talk about it on a podcast. I probably won't have a whole podcast on my registry. Maybe, who knows? But just keep an eye out on Instagram. And then, do I have the nesting urge? 100%. Like, there are just things that I feel like I can't like let go of in my brain that I feel like need to get done right now. Like, our carpet, I feel like, is so gross. And like, it wasn't something I cared that much about. But like, thinking of a baby coming, I'm like, this carpet's got to go. We got to get hardwood floors everywhere. So that's something I'm trying to see if it fits in the budget, which it probably won't. But I'm trying to make it work. And then like closets, like our closets are like, the storage closets are kind of like unorganized. Like, our linens closet is like a mess, and like our guest room closet is a mess, and our office closet is a mess. It's just kind of like anything that doesn't have a home around the house, it's just like shoved into that closet. It's kind of like Monica from Friends. Like if you come to my house, it's like, it's pretty clean, it's beautifully organized, but don't go in my closets because my closets are a nightmare. So that is like top of my list to get organized before baby comes. Okay, next, what agency are you using? If you don't want to give the name, clues about choosing an agency and what to look for, what drew you to that agency? I'll share here. I don't know if it's like unsafe to share the name or not, so I haven't shared it on Instagram, but this is a much smaller group that I know is like my most engaged audience, and I almost trust you guys more than I just trust like everybody on Instagram. So I'm going to ask my agent if I can share it publicly on Instagram, but I think it's probably fine. Cradled in Grace is the consultant agency that we're using. So there you go. We really like them. Another one that was recommended to us was, I think it's Faithful Adoption Consultants. And then there was another one, I think that was like Christian Adoption Consultants. So those are some different consulting agencies to look through. And then when it comes to like actual adoption agencies, I don't know much about that. So I can't really help there. What drew you to that agency? What drew me to the agency is that I knew people that adopted through this agency and that had referred multiple friends to adopt from this agency, and they all had successful adoptions. I wanted to make sure that the route I was the agency I picked like had a high success rate, because it usually means they're being ethical, they're walking well with the mom, they're taking care of the birth mom and not rushing her to make a decision, and so then she changes her mind at the end. So it had a good success rate, and they're very big on supporting the birth mom, being ethical, giving her all the supports that she needs to make sure that she can be as healthy as possible and mentally stable and prepared to make this decision and truly wants to follow through with the decision, or supporting her if she chooses to parent the baby. Are you adopting a boy or a girl? We don't have a gender preference. We aren't going to limit ourselves to a boy or a girl. You can't pick the gender when you're pregnant, and we don't want to pick it now, and we don't really care. Honestly, I'd be so excited to have either a boy or a girl. Both sound so much fun. And yeah, if we were to pick just one, it would literally cut our cases that we see in half just because we like chose one specific gender. So we want to be open about that. So it'll be either a boy or a girl. And it's actually hilarious that we just like don't know what gender it is, because if I was pregnant, I would be wanting to find that out as soon as possible. But it's just going to be a surprise. So we'll see. I mean, I guess when you get the case, it will tell you if it's a boy or a girl, but it just feels like this huge surprise. So, all right, you guys. Well, that's all I have for you today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us, and thanks for praying for us. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.